Well, I'm glad I'm looking well. I'm 74. I was 74 a couple of weeks ago. In fact, Robert Desay and I are a fortnight apart in age. And yeah, I'm the oldest. So I have to keep him in order at the festival.
Yeah, someone's got to. Yeah. That's not an easy task no. from what I know as well. Now, it feels very weird to say, whereas you would say to somebody, you look very young, they would take it as a compliment. You say to someone, I mean, I feel uncomfortable saying that, but you don't like it when people say how young you look for your age.
No, I don't. I mean, it's something that we only have a limited amount of control over. And really what we have to do is just look as good as we can. And that might be quite an old look. I mean, I know women who are my age who have had lots of plastic surgery or lots of injections in their faces and things and look 45. And I recently saw a picture of someone, I think it might have been Kerri-Anne Kennelly in a red jumpsuit. I think she's in her 80s now or certainly 80, I believe. And she was being madly praised for looking so young. Now, to me, that, you know, if I was looking 40 at 74, it would be like having a split personality. It was, how can you come to terms with age if you don't allow yourself to follow life's path and what it does to us in aging? Obviously, I try and keep healthy, and I know I'm fortunate in that I have good English skin that was looked after by lots of English rain in my childhood. But I think that the most important thing, and particularly for women, is just accepting who you are. And not trying to look younger, trying to look good as the person you are. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just our obsession with youth that forces women often to do all sorts of things to themselves instead of just learning how to get the best of who they are.
Why women? You say why women?
Well, I think this is entirely the cosmetic, the marketing, the marketing of cosmetics, the marketing of women. I mean, You see very few images of older women, particularly in cosmetics and fashion. A women's magazine, like, say, the Women's Weekly, might do one fashion feature on older women in a year. Otherwise, it's all young. Even the West Australian in its fashion magazine did one in the time that I can remember in the Weekend West. One fashion feature in its weekend edition of older women. Otherwise, they're all very young. But the readers are not very young. The readers, a lot of the readers would be my age or your age. Older women looking good are not visible in the media around us. And that's why a lot of women feel that they're not seen in what they do. They're not seen for who they are. There's nothing wrong with getting old. It's going to happen to everyone.
Well, if things go well.
If things go well, yeah. Aren't we lucky to be here?
Yeah. I've just turned 50, and it's interesting that you say that. And I know a lot of your writing is around older people doing what older people, living lives, you know, loving, losing, having regrets, which we've been talking about on the show today. I mean, having real lives. But if you don't ever see that, if you don't see it in what you see, you know, on television and what you read in books, then I think it adds to that invisibility people talk about in older age.
Well, it does. And it is, I think this is very disempowering for older people generally, but particularly for older women, because all the images are predominantly young, beautiful, slim, perfectly made up, looking glamorous or looking wispily casual. And older women just aren't seen. They are invisible. Now, every time I say this, somebody will ring up and say, oh, but if I want people to look at me, I'll go and put on a red hat and some red lipstick. But that is being looked at, and that's something different. Being looked at is different from being seen as part of a body of people in the community who have more than red hats and red lipstick. It's about being seen as part of the tribe, and it's called representational flattery. If you see lots of images of people like you around, you feel like you're one of the tribe.
You belong somewhere. Yeah, you've got a purpose.
That's it.
Yeah.
But older women don't see that. And they're, you know, characters, there are many more older characters, believable, intelligent, interesting older characters in film these days. Not so many in television, but in advertising, things like that. I mean, if you, as an older person, if you haven't got perfect teeth and silver hair, you're not even seen in a photograph of people walking along the beach advertising incontinence pads or, you know, retirement housing. It's just a whole body of the community that's not seen.
Liz Bursky, our guest on ABC Radio Perth. I'm Jill, and Liz is at the Perth Writers' Festival this weekend and also contributed to a new book from Fremantle Press, Women of a Certain Age. Now, I think part of it is we dread getting older so much because we associate it with a loss. We associate it with the loss of our youth, which, as you say, is what, you know, society is obsessed with. We associate it with losing people that we love. The first, I guess, is our parents, generally, again, if things go well. And we associate it with looking back at what we didn't have, regrets.
Absolutely. And I mean, part of that is, just to finish off what we were talking about before, about visibility, is that because we don't see enough older people doing great stuff, playing golf, going to the cricket, going running, going to parties, having a good life, working like me, you know, until their 70s. You know, there's plenty of people my age still in the workforce. So, you know, you think you're going to disappear when you get older. But I do think, and I have found that as I've been aging, that things that we think of as negative can actually be positives in our life. And now you mentioned parents dying. I learnt so much from the death of my parents, both of whom had dementia, my father Alzheimer's, and I learnt a lot about myself and what an unpleasant person I can be when things don't go my way, because my parents had been, you know, wonderful parents all my life, but I had always been somewhat intimidated by my father. I never really let him know who I was, and I always tried to look as though I was a good girl. And he was a very controlling person, and once he had Alzheimer's, I used to get very cross with him because I knew that he couldn't make decisions for himself, and he couldn't look after my mother, he couldn't be left alone in the house, all those sorts of things. And I insisted on putting him right about everything and being cross with him because he wouldn't understand. Now I think that was a terrible thing to do. It spoilt my last years with my father because I took control. Perhaps that was revenge for the past. I don't know, but I think it's quite likely, although it was unconscious at the time, because I was actually bullying him. I was so short-tempered with him. And I realise now that what I should have done was to just go with it. To let him have his illusions and delusions and humour him and be nice to him, be kind to him, and, you know, it would be forgotten the next day. So I have regret, and, when you know, everybody says, oh, regret's a really negative thing. Mm. Well, I don't think it is. I think without regret, we can't remind ourselves of what we're capable of and how we might do things differently in future. And it doesn't – regret – And sadness and grief, they're valuable emotions. They're part of what it means to be human. We can't be happy all the time. We shouldn't expect to be happy all the time. So these other things that happen to us, we have to see them for what they are. And hopefully they make us a better person as we go along. How else do we find out these things about ourselves if we don't listen to and feel our grief, our regret, our sadness? And shame, really, too. I am ashamed of how I was. On the outside, I appeared to be doing a good job in looking after my parents. But I know now that I could have made it much easier for them and for myself. Now, if if regret, you know, no regrets, don't have any regrets. Well, I have lots of regrets, not only about this, but about other things too. And I've learnt from them, and I hope I'm being a better person because of it.
Part of this, I love this expression, this inane cult of happiness that you refer to, and it's fabulous. But I think it's true. We feel like if we're not happy all the time,
yes,
we need to medicate ourselves. We need to, we need to find out what's wrong. So we stop, and everything is focused around why aren't we happy right now?
That's right. And we expect other people to make us happy. You know, I hear young people, because I'm work. Quite a bit with young people at the university, and then they say, "Oh, well, I got rid of my boyfriend because he didn't make me happy." You know, we have to be responsible for our own happiness, and we have to accept that sometimes it's not going to work, and it's going to be tough. And I think it makes us stronger. I really feel, certainly in my old age, that awareness of and that tolerance what we are taught to think of as negative emotions does make me stronger. I know I can get through it. I know what I've learned from it, and it's part of my memories of the earlier part of my life.
People don't swallow that very well, though, do they, when you tell them?
No.
You're okay with being a bit sad every day. They don't take it well. They really find it a very uncomfortable idea.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, you sit down in the morning, you get up, you're all your sore bits, your hips and your feet and all the bits that you think might drop off at some stage.
Yeah.
And you think about who you are and think, well, I've had a really good life, and the sadness and the grief that I feel about the past is part of it. It would not have been the same life without that. It might not have been such a rich and rewarding life without that. I don't think about it a lot, but I always know it's there.
I actually think, again, as a 50-something, and this may change, but I think the invisibility that comes with getting older is not such a bad thing, because, you know, that same society, I was talking about this in a Twitter conversation the other day, that same society that is obsessed by youth is also, you know, obsessed with consumerism and obsessed with, you know, or getting into debt or getting rid of relationships, as you say, if they don't make you happy every moment of every day. And I'm not so sure. I think there's part of a freedom in getting older, which is a blessing of being, of ageing, that you're okay about that. And you think, well, I'll just sidestep it because no one will notice anyway.
Yeah, there is that about it. I mean, I think I love being this age. I really love it. I always wanted to be old, because I was surrounded by lots of positive images of older women when I was young, and I really enjoy it, and I'm happy to admit now to the things that I can't do. And I think for women there's a difference, there is this difference between being seen as a group of people who are important in the community and being looked at because you're a woman. It's a crucial one, because I think a lot of us get very sick in our youth of having to be looked at by men and all that that brings with it. You know, it is lovely to dress up and go out looking wonderful and sexy and so on, but constantly being surveyed by men in my youth and feeling as though I was being sized up, I found that sickening. Doesn't happen now, I'm glad to say.